Last element of the Washington consensus is reducing trade barriers. And here there's another scam that you ought to keep your eyes on. What's called trade in economics is a very odd notion. So for example, if Ford Motor Company moves parts from Indiana to Illinois for assembly and then moves them back to Indiana, that's not called trade. But if Ford Motor Company takes parts in, made in Indiana and moves them across the border to Mexico, where you get much cheaper labor and you don't have to worry about the, you know, pollution and so on, and they get reassembled in Mexico and then sent back to, say, Illinois for value added, that's called exports and imports. Never had anything to do with the Mexican economy, or in fact any economy. It was all internal to the Ford Motor Company, but it's exports and imports. So how big an element is that? Well, about 50% of U.S. trade. So about 50% of what's called U.S. trade is actually internal to individual corporations, meaning controlled by a very visible hand with all sorts of methods around for distortion of markets and, you know, robbery and so on and so forth. And it's about the same for Japan. And for the world, you know, it's hard to get numbers, but what's estimated for the world is around 40% of trade. Agreements like, say, the Uruguay Round, you know, GATT, if that increases what's called trade, what it actually does is increase investor rights. That is, it increases the power of transnational corporations. You have to really look pretty closely to figure out what the effect is on trade in any meaningful sense. For example, it may increase cross-border operations, but decrease trade. In a meaningful sense of trade, meaning something that's not under the control of a kind of corporate mercantilism.